This is OPB's Quick Take Northwest. Today is Tuesday, the 25th of March, 2008. I'm April Baer. Good morning. First off, let's clear the decks for the story Portlanders have been waiting to find out about. Businessman Sho Dzono says he will continue his campaign for mayor of Portland, despite the fact that his public campaign financing has been yanked.
I thought about it over the weekend with my family and advisors. I've come to a conclusion that I will remain in the race. It is so important that I...
Dzono says he's going to fund his campaign using private donations. He thinks he'll probably impose a limit on the size of contributions, possibly around $500. He hasn't decided if he's going to appeal last week's legal decision, which declared him ineligible for public campaign funds. Dzono says he thinks he could win the appeal, but that the public money wouldn't arrive in time to help him with the May primary. Dzono blames rival mayoral candidate Sam Adams for his disqualification from public financing. Adams helped to challenge Dzono's expenditures from last year, but Sam Adams says Sho Dzono's problems are all his own. In other news, California's legislature has approved $5.3 million in spending to restore salmon habitat. This is coming just as federal fisheries managers are considering a shutdown of salmon fishing off the Oregon and California coasts for the year. Lawmakers in Sacramento voted 59-11 for a bill that would help rebuild dwindling salmon populations, removing stream barriers, and restoring spawning areas, among other things. A woman from Ridgefield, Washington, says she's lost hope that her son, a contractor in Iraq, might still be alive. The remains of two men who were abducted alongside Joshua Munns have been recovered by the U.S. military. In a phone interview with the Associated Press, Munns' mother, Jackie Stewart of Ridgefield, says she thinks at this point the abductors have already killed the others and that her son Josh was probably dead as well. She called it a mother's intuition. Recently, the severed fingers of several of the men abducted were sent to the U.S. military in Iraq. Lawmakers in eastern parts of the state often complain that their counterparts from urban areas don't really understand what's going on in rural parts of Oregon. Now, a state agency that deals with those issues is slated to close down. The Office of Rural Policy is only 4 years old. It was billed as a way for state government to keep tabs on the needs of sparsely populated eastern regions. Some lawmakers said that they were concerned that the Office of Rural Policy was just duplicating the work of existing branches of government. That's part of the reason why funding for the office dwindled. State Senator David Nelson is a Republican from the Pendleton area. He says he's disappointed to hear the Office of Rural Policy is closing. He thinks it paved the way for lawmakers to pass a bill funding research for new irrigation projects in his part of the state.
As a result of the actions of the Rural Policy Board, legislators throughout the state said, you know what, there is an issue on water.
Nelson says the end of the office puts more pressure on rural lawmakers to make their case in Salem. Governor Ted Kulongoski made a visit to Central Oregon yesterday. He was there to publicize the growth of a Bend company called PV Powered. Our Central Oregon correspondent Ethan Lindsay reports that PV is a maker of solar power inverters.
PV Powered makes the machines that convert sun rays into actual power. The company's tripled its employment to 60 jobs in the past year and is planning to add more than 100 workers by 2010. The growth meant the company needed a new factory. Glenn Harris is the president. He says PV Powered is now leasing a building that used to be operated by Gerald Wen, the wood products maker.
The timber industry is the strength of our economy, and taking a building like this and moving it back into use in renewables, it's a new economic statement.
He says the company may buy the building in the future, using the state's renewable energy business tax credit. At the factory, the governor promoted energy policies such as that credit. The governor says he remains open to a debate about building liquefied natural gas terminals, but as a transitional energy source. He says in the longer term, Oregon could be a renewable energy business leader. Ethan Lindsay, OPB News, Bend.
The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation has just made a big donation to Washington State University. It's a $25 million grant for a new school for global animal health. The school will focus on the prevention and treatment of livestock diseases, including many that can spread to humans. Phil Randazzo is a senior program officer with Gates. He says that the school shares the foundation's priority of improving human health in developing countries.
The link between animal and human health is a strong one, as we've seen over and over again with diseases like HIV, SARS, and pandemic bird flu crossing over from animals to humans.
This cash will help build an infectious disease research facility on WSU's Pullman campus. WSU officials say that there is no timeline set for the construction of the facility. Classes will begin in the new program sometime next school year. The first American raw milk cheese to cross the Atlantic and enter European markets is a cheese from southern Oregon. From KLCC in Eugene, Rachel McDonald has the story.
Rogue River Blue won the title of Best Blue Cheese in the World at the 2003 World Cheese Awards in London. Now, more than 4 years later, Londoners can find the cheese at local markets. Francis Plowman is marketing director at Rogue Creamery in Central Point near Medford. He says the U.S. didn't even have regulations in place to send raw milk cheeses abroad. That's why it took so long.
It's the culmination of 3 or 4 years of jumping through a lot of hoops. It's a very difficult thing to do, particularly in this post-9/11 era, and it took a great deal of persistence and a lot of people to really help us with this.
Rogue River Blue is now being sold in 2 stores in London. It's expected to be sent to Holland and France in April, then Italy and Spain in the fall. I'm Rachel McDonald in Eugene.
And finally, in sports news, the Seattle Supersonics snapped their 11-game losing streak last night, beating the Portland Trailblazers 97-84. This was a bittersweet game, with Seattle's owner, Clay Bennett, trying to move his team to Oklahoma City. The game might be the final time that the Sonics and the Blazers face off, just 180 miles apart. These two teams have a sort of regional rivalry going on. They started playing each other in 1970, and overall the Sonics hold a 98-94 lead. The game was played with a noticeable security presence. Supporters of the group Save Our Sonics bought a big block of tickets and sat in the lower bowl holding signs and chanting. A Sonic spokesman says that the increased security was in response to information that the fans might try to disrupt the game. But nothing really happened. Checking the weather forecast today, it's going to be partly sunny again over the coast and the valley. That chance of rain showers is still a factor, and it looks like the average high is going to be about the same as yesterday, 45 to 50 on average. Across central and eastern Oregon, the forecast looks mostly cloudy, scattered showers in most places, and snow levels seem to be pretty close to 3,000 feet most places that we can see, certainly in central Oregon and the Blue Mountains. The Wallawas can expect snow closer to 4,000 feet, and it's really just a chance of snow when you get to the Oregon-Idaho border. It's colder outside today, most places expecting highs in the 40s, although the mountains and high plateaus are probably going to be in the 30s today. Some spots along the eastern gorge may reach the low 50s. That's it for today's podcast. Thanks for listening. Signing off, I'm April Baer.